and I said this in Sunday school, I can't think of anywhere that I'd rather be than in God's house. And I like what you have printed above the door there. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. As a matter of fact, that's one of the verses that, before I start preaching, that's one of the verses that I like to quote. And I've been doing that since we started Deputation. And so I like that verse. But we are the Hoffmans. I'm Brett and my wife Jenny, for those of you who we've not been able to meet yet or get to know a little bit of. And God has called us to go to New Zealand to be church planting missionaries. And so we're excited about the opportunity to go. We're excited about God calling us to go to do that out of our sending church, West Florida Baptist Church in Milton, Florida, which is just outside Pensacola in the great state of Florida. I've heard the panhandle is really just southern Alabama, so it's true. But we're excited about going to New Zealand. And some people have asked, what do you plan to do, how was the question put to me? It had to do with how long we were planning on being in New Zealand. And the answer to that question, in case anybody wants to ask this question, the answer to that, I don't have a plan B. And so we will be in New Zealand as long as God has us there. Because I believe that being in God's will is the most important place that a Christian can be. And any Christian who is not in where God wants them to be, if a Christian that is not in God's will is in a dangerous place. And so the safest place we can be is right in the center of God's will. And some people might say, well, how can you say that the safest place you can be is in the center of God's will when people who are in the center of God's will are in imminent danger all the time? Well, you know what? Who's holding them is God. And one thing that a lot of missionaries probably today would say, and I heard this when I was in high school, is you cannot threaten me with heaven. So I'm excited about what God has called us to do. I'm excited about going to New Zealand. I cannot wait to be there. My wife cannot wait to be there. Just pray for us as we endeavor to finish out deputation. I haven't scheduled anything after December. We're trusting the Lord is going to have us at 100% by then. And so just pray that God would actually get us to that. I know he will. He's already got it figured out. So we just ask that you pray with us on that. Pray for me this morning as I share with you from God's word what I believe he'd have me to share with you this morning. If you've got your Bibles, please turn to Joshua chapter 3. The title of the message this morning is very simply just one word, faith. Faith. And I want to share with you this morning, I plan to share with you just four truths about faith. I think there are more truths about faith that we could possibly, I don't think we can exhaust all the subject matter on faith. It's a broad subject. But I want to share with you just four truths this morning about faith. Faith is a subject that gets a lot of attention verbally. We know about faith. We can talk about faith. We can share our faith with other people, and we should be doing that. But I believe that faith, while it is something that we have in our brains, I believe a lot of times we as Christians don't let it get into our heart, because faith will take us into the unknown. And I like to share this little brief thing. I am not a strong swimmer. I learned how to swim. I say learned. There were four guys at PCC my freshman year back in 1990 that wanted to teach me how to swim. I was 18 years old. I didn't know what I was doing, but I wanted to learn how to swim because I felt silly getting into the Olympic-sized pool there on campus and not know how to get from one end to the other without freaking out. And so I asked these guys if they would spend some time just showing me how to I should have taken swimming lessons while I was there, but whatever. I didn't. So these four guys showed me how to get from one end to the other and how to swim. But I'll tell you, I'm not a strong swimmer. I like getting in the swimming pool. I like to swim back and forth. I like to dive down to the 13-foot or the 12-foot side of the pool or 5-foot, whatever it is. I like to dive down and see how long I can stay down there holding my breath until I, you know, pass out and then float to the surface without passing. I enjoy that. I like going to the beach, and I like going out into the water, and I'll go out until the water is just about chest high, because I want to keep my feet as firmly planted on the bottom of that ocean as I can. I haven't figured out how to breathe water yet, okay? And so I don't like to go out any deeper than where I can stand and still have my head above water. Now, when the sun goes down, don't ask me to step out into the ocean. I will not do it. Even though nothing has changed except for the sun went down, but the color of the water has changed. It's no longer that pristine, blue-green, beautiful turquoise water that Florida has. It is now black, and it's scary. And that water will take me into a place that I don't care to go, called the unknown. It's scary to go into dark water. That's what faith will do. Faith will take us into a place that we have no idea what's coming next. When we started working in the ministries of our church, I had no idea what was coming down the line. I didn't know that we were going to go from working in the nursing home ministry to the bus ministry and then working in King's Kids on Wednesday nights and then eventually being asked to teach 5th and 6th grade Sunday school, teaching the kids choir, making muffins every Sunday morning, to going to New Zealand. I didn't know that New Zealand was that next big step. God didn't take us from the nursing home ministry to New Zealand right off the bat. There was a matter of service that was involved. There was a matter of faith that had to be built before God could get us to do that. I would like to encourage you in the matter of faith this morning. First of all, to share with you that faith requires cleansing. We must be clean. Second, we are to be obedient in our faith and act when God directs us. Third, we're to realize that we walk by faith and not by sight. And then number four, that our faith is rewarded. If you have your Bibles and you found Joshua chapter 3, would you please stand for the reading of God's Word? We're going to read all 17 verses of Joshua chapter 3 this morning. Won't take long. It says here, and Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, take up the ark of the covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites, the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Now therefore, take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon an heap very far from the city Adam that is beside Zaretan. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off. And the people passed right over right against Jericho. And the priests that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I need you this morning. I cannot do this on my own. And so I ask, God, that you would first cleanse me of sin. I pray that there would be nothing between us. I pray that you would empty me of myself and fill me with your Spirit. I pray that you'd help me to just say what you'd have me to say and nothing more, nothing less this morning. And Lord, I also pray that the Holy Spirit would be able to work in the hearts and in the lives of the people here, myself included. Help our faith, Lord, to be where it needs to be. And I pray that you would help us to have our faith and to see it grow. Lord, we love you and we thank you for all that you've done and all that you're going to do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. So when I read this passage, when I read this chapter, knowing what these priests were asked to do and knowing what the people of Israel, the children there, were supposed to do, it struck me that this is a great example of faith in action. The priests were told to do something that defied all kind of logic and all kinds of human thinking. For example, who in their right mind is going to step out into a river that is flooded on purpose? I don't want to do it. I'm like I told you earlier, I'm not a strong swimmer. I do not want to step out into a flooded river. I've been on a river that I thought I was going to die. I was scared to death. I was hanging on to the floor of that river while the water was surging over my neck and my back, and it was terrifying to me. Obviously, my life was saved, but I was scared when I was out on that river. And I can't imagine how fast, I don't know how fast Jordan was flowing, but these priests, they were told to step out into a river that was flooded, and they did it. What an amazing display of faith. You know, the Bible tells us, go ahead and turn to 1 Peter chapter 1 with me. 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to look at a lot of scripture. So I believe in using a lot of scripture when I preach. John Getch said the preaching should be a lot of scripture and very little commentary. So he's right. So I'm going to do my best to do this morning with a lot of scripture. But 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 through 16 says this. It says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts and your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." Pay attention to verse 16. "Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." Our faith, number one, requires cleansing. We must be clean. To sanctify means to purify, to cleanse from corruption, to purify from sin, and to make holy. We are to be holy unto God, because God is holy, and if we say that we are his children, then we should be holy. 2 Timothy chapter 2, go ahead and turn there with me. 2 Timothy chapter 2, we're going to look at verse 19 through 21, and while you're turning there, you know, we should be a vessel that is clean and fit for use. How many of you would have company come over and you would set a dish on the table for your guests to eat off that your dog had licked clean and you put it back in the cupboard the day before? To be honest with you, I heard somebody say that, anyway, I'm not going to go there. You wouldn't do it. When you go to a restaurant, if you find a little bit of egg yolk caked on a fork, which happens, you're going to ask for a new fork, right? That is not something that I want to put into my mouth, A, because somebody else had it in their mouth, and B, because there's egg on it. Well, maybe it's the other way around. If we ever had guests come to our house, I did not, if I put the plates on the table and I would look them over, I didn't want to put a plate down and have somebody eat off that plate that was dirty. We were in a home, and we were in a situation where the dishes were just filthy. But we did what we were supposed to do, and we ate off those dishes. And one of us was okay; the other one did not fare so well, and so I felt bad for her. So, but God has been good to us, and so we are to be vessels fit for use, as it says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. It says this: "Nevertheless, The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ, what? Continue in sin? It says to depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Now, I cannot be the kind of vessel that is filling myself with alcohol and with tobacco and with all the pleasures of this world. I cannot fill my eyes with stuff that I can see on the internet at a moment's notice and expect God to use me. What if we showed up this morning and I stood out here on the front step or outside the doors of the auditorium here on the outside smoking a cigarette with a beer in my hand and then come in here and try to preach? Do you think that I'm going to be very effective in my preaching? Do you think that I'd be very effective if I'm looking at things on the internet and reading books and magazines that I know are not good for me, that are bad for my soul, bad for my spirit, and something that I should not put into my life? I can't be a very good witness. I cannot go to the grocery store and try to give a tract to the cashier and then ask her to give me something behind the counter, or cigarettes or alcohol or whatever it might be. Not going to be a very good testimony. We should be a vessel fit for the master's use. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 tells us to lay aside the sin and the weight of sin which doth so easily beset us. And doesn't sin find us to be an easy target? You know, Satan knows what buttons to push. Whether you're a man or a lady or a teenager or a child, there are things in our lives that Satan knows what he can do to get a hold of us to make us less effective in our witness. We're to lay aside sin. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. That's a good place to start to keeping our mind where it needs to be. God's word will help us to keep our mind where it needs to be. God's word will keep our heart. We cannot be pure and holy vessels fit for use if we're constantly filling our hearts and our lives with the pleasures of this world. And you know, the pleasures of this world only last for a short time, and it leaves us empty and wanting more. And the more we want and the more we put in, the more hungry we become for those things, and it never satisfies. There's only one that satisfies, and that's Jesus Christ. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior this morning, I hope that everyone here does know the Lord. But if you don't know the Lord, the Bible tells us that now is the time for salvation, that it should be today, not tomorrow. There is no tomorrow. Do you know tomorrow never comes? Tomorrow is always today. The Bible says that now is the time for salvation. If you don't know the Lord as your Savior, don't walk out these doors today without finding out how you can be saved. There are people here that can show you what that means. But you know, we must put away that which would harm our relationship with the Lord or break fellowship with Him, and we must never think to enter into any work for the Lord without first being cleansed from the sin of this world. You know, we're going to sin. We're Christians. I mean, yeah, we're saved individuals, but we still sin. It'd be nice if once we got saved, we were perfect. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be great? But we're not. We're still sinful people. The Bible tells us in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We need to be cleansed from the sin. We need to be made pure and holy, and we need to strive for that, as it tells us in 1 Peter. Our faith requires cleansing, but it also requires obedience and action. Turn back to Joshua chapter 3, and we're going to look now in the fact that these priests were obedient, and they moved when they were commanded, and they stepped out into a flooded river. Joshua chapter 3, and we're going to look at verse 6 and verse 15. So the command was given. It says to Joshua, spake unto the priests, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass over before the people. So there's the command. Hey, you priests, it's time to get up and go. So I want you to get up and take the ark, and you're going to go on before the people. And what does it say? And they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. And then verse 15 says, and as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest. So that's obedience and action that was part of their faith. They moved when they were commanded, and they stepped out into a flooded river. You know, I think these priests, I don't think that they had any question in their mind. I don't think that any of the priests that were asked to do this thing said, nope, I'm not doing that. I am not stepping out into that flooded river. You can forget it, Joshua. You can forget that. I'm not going out there. I think maybe these priests were reminded, maybe the Lord reminded them of how they, and not because any of them were considering that, but maybe he reminded them that for the last 40 years, you've been burying your friends and family in the desert, in the wilderness. I think these priests may have remembered that, and they did not want to do that again to the nation. And so maybe they thought, hey, you know what? We're going to be obedient. We're going to do what we're asked to do, and we're going to step out by faith that God is going to do what he said he was going to do. They exercised their faith when they moved from where they were to step out into a flooded river, and then God moved and did what he said he was going to do. You know, they stepped out. Imagine this. These four priests, here's what they, or six, or I can't remember how many men carried the ark. I think it was four. I don't remember. I'm sorry. But they come to the water's edge. So the first one steps down. The first two guys step down, and they get down into that water. And whoo, boy, it's moving fast, and it's probably cold. I don't know. And so they says that when they stepped out into the river, and they're at the brink, they're at the shore there, and their feet settled at the bottom of that river on the floor, guess what happened? God stopped the waters on one end and piled them up on the other. So all the water, we'll say all the water on the right-hand side just piled up and it stopped. And there was nothing going on downriver. So there's some guy downriver that just finished washing his hair and he's got soap all in it. And now he can't do anything because somebody turned off the water. He's like, you've got to be kidding me. Honey, did you pay the water bill? I told you to do that. These priests were obedient, and they put action to their faith. Do we put action to our faith? Are we obedient in our faith when God says to move? Are we faithful to do that? Are we obedient to do that? How many times do you hear stories about people who they say, well, you know, when I was a younger man, God called me to go and be a missionary or a pastor or to go and do such and such, and I didn't do it. You know, being obedient in our faith is not just important for missionaries and pastors, but for Sunday school teachers and for people who, you, to be out in public and share the gospel with somebody by giving them a tract, by going door to door. When the pastor says, hey, we're going to go do a tract blitz, we're going to go knock on somebody's door, he gave you an easy example of how that is done. And that was so easy. Knocking on somebody's door and inviting them to the church is the easiest thing in the world to do. It's not hard. They're not rejecting you if they say no. Guess what? They're rejecting Christ. But we should be obedient to sharing the gospel in situations like that. When the Holy Spirit moves, when he says, hey, you need to go and talk to that person. You need to give that person a tract. We should put obedience to that. We need to be obedient, and we need to put action and do what God wants us to do there. Our faith requires cleansing. It requires obedience and action. But number three, our faith is centered upon the unseen. Look with me at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. You know, it's very, salvation is an easy, easy thing. I call it a thing. It's not a thing. You know what I'm talking about. But salvation is easy to obtain is what I'm getting at. And the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. I'll get there in a second. I know the passage, but I don't want to mess it up either because a lot of times I'll get up here and I'll start to quote a verse and I totally mess it up and I've known it for years. It says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Our faith is centered upon somebody that nobody has ever seen. I've never seen. Has anybody here ever seen Jesus in the flesh? How about the Holy Spirit? How about God? I've never seen any of them. I've never seen God. I've never seen the Holy Spirit. I've never seen Jesus. I have seen an angel. I married her. Amen, right? I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ to save me. I said, Lord, I cannot get to heaven on my own. I trust that as your word says in Romans chapter 10, I believe that Jesus Christ came to earth, that he died, that he was buried, that he rose again, and I put my faith and trust that you're going to get me to heaven, not me. Lord, save me. I cannot save myself. You cannot save yourself. If you're here this morning and you're trusting in your good works to get you to heaven, my question to you is, how much good do you have to do in order to get there? Where is the bar set? Has anybody ever gotten to heaven on their good works and come back and told these folks that want to tell you that you have to work for salvation how much you have to do? Nobody knows. And so if you're saying, well, when I get to heaven, I guess I'll just have to wait and see. Friend, if you're waiting to get to heaven, the Holy Spirit, the Lord, is not going to let you in. He's going to say, depart from me, for I never knew you. It's only through the shed blood of Jesus Christ that we can have eternal life, and by putting our faith and trust in what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. Nobody's ever seen Jesus, you know. Nobody's ever seen him. I mean, nobody in present day. But we put our faith and trust in somebody we've never seen to get us to a place that we've only read about, and that's where our faith is centered upon the unseen. I don't know. When we started out, as I said earlier, we didn't know that we were going to be going from working in the nursing home ministry to going to New Zealand. We had no idea about that. We did not see those things coming. God doesn't immediately show us what he has for us, and he does not take us from point A to point Z right away. In Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1, God told Abram to go to a land that he'd never seen. And Abram got up and he did that. And then he told him to go and sacrifice his son. There was no lamb. But God provided, and Abraham didn't sacrifice his son. He was at that point of killing his son, and God stopped him. He put his faith and trust in what God had done by making Isaac that promised heir, and he didn't kill him. Abraham had faith that God was going to save them. You know, the Bible tells us in Isaiah 55:7-9, it says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. I love this. What God does in our lives doesn't always make sense. As he says here, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. We don't understand why God does what he's doing all the time. And there's no way we can understand it, because his ways are different than our ways. And he has a whole plan for our lives that we cannot see right away. You know, there's a progression to our faith also. In Acts chapter 11, verse 29-30, Saul and Barnabas were called to do a certain thing. They were told, you're going to take this money from here in Antioch to Jerusalem to help the poor, to help the saints in Jerusalem that are struggling. And the Bible says that when they had fulfilled their ministry, they completed the work that they were supposed to do in Acts chapter 12 and verse 25. And then in Acts chapter 13 and verse 2, it shows us that God uses those who put action to the faith. They're faithful to do what they've been called to do. The Bible says, separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. They were faithful to do what God had asked them to do. Our faith requires cleansing. Our faith requires obedience and action. It's centered upon the unseen. And then finally, our faith is rewarded. Turn to Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 11. Isaiah chapter 55, and we're going to look at verse 11. God's word is going to accomplish what he wants it to accomplish. Doesn't matter what I say, what I do, where I go with it. I can go out on the street here today. I can go into Phoenix tomorrow. I could go into Goodyear. I can go into the surrounding areas. We're going to be in Tucson on Wednesday. Burns, Wyoming on Sunday next week. Listen, it doesn't matter where I go. When I preach the gospel, when you share the gospel, God's word is going to do what he wants it to do. It says here, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper the thing whereunto I sent it. Listen, when we verbally share the gospel, Matthew 28, 18 through 20 gives us a promise that folks are going to be saved. I say that because we don't baptize unsaved people. At least we shouldn't. It says, go ye therefore and preach to all nations, and then you baptize them. So we preach, people get saved, we baptize them. God's word has accomplished what it's supposed to accomplish there. In Isaiah 55, 11, when we give a tract to somebody, that's just as good as sharing the gospel. You're not always going to be able to verbally share the gospel with somebody. That's not possible all the time. We can hand the gospel tract to somebody. And when we seek the Lord, in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, it talks about seeking the Lord early. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. There are folks across this world, and I've heard stories about people who have never heard the gospel, but they were searching for something, and God sent them what they needed. And when we trust the Lord with our lives, as it says in Psalm 37, 4, God's word will accomplish what he wants it to accomplish. Our faith is rewarded. Peter walked on water. The priests stepped out into a flooded river, and when they did, then God moved. God moves when we act. In all the events in Scripture, God moved after the person stepped out in faith to do what he had asked them to do. Listen, our faith requires cleansing, and this was, I'm going to just recap real quick, and then I'm done. Our faith requires cleansing. Christian, are you separated from the things of this world? Is there anything standing between you and your Savior this morning? Our faith requires obedience and action. Put action to your faith. If you're waiting for something to happen, then stop waiting and act and see God move. Our faith is centered upon the unseen. We step out and we walk by faith, not by sight. The Bible tells us that. We can't see what lies ahead, and that's the beauty of faith. It's based solely on trusting God to do what he said he was going to do. And you know what? God never breaks a promise. And then finally, our faith is rewarded. When we are obedient to God and we step out in faith, he rewards that faith, ultimately in heaven. But you know, there are times right here on this earth where God can reward our faith. If you would bow your heads and close your eyes, and Pastor, come on.